What is the website for the FCA?
MenmoFCA.org.
Okay. 3027000, toll-free 877-330-1150. Or shoot us an email live at krmsradio.com if you have any questions or comments for our guest. Her name is Alicia Machino, and she's here with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so do you know where this got started 60 years ago, the FCA?
Oh, goodness.
No? No problem. Nope. No problem if you don't, but... do you know where the home base is, the central office?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, it's based in Kansas
uh-huh.
City. Okay. So there's a chance, I guess, it could have started in Kansas City thereabouts.
I should know this. But
well, that's okay. I mean, we'll learn together.
That's right. I can look it up.
And maybe Darius, since he's not doing everything, will grab a keyboard and learn about it. But 6 years ago, I know you guys had an office in the Stonecastle Center. Are you still in that building?
No, I think it sold, and they donated the office to Kathy, who is our area representative. And so I believe it sold, or it was going on the market. So she relocated to Parkside offices. It's across from the hospital.
Yeah, it's just right out this window.
Right, right. And so, again, the generosity of the owners, they've donated the office spaces.
Do you remember me talking last weekend, Darius, about Captain Ron Dugan being a nice guy?
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the one that owned the Stonecastle Center space that you were in over there in Camdenton, and he was the one that was the donor for you guys. I don't know if you know who he is, but it's pretty interesting that 2 weeks in a row his name comes up, because what did I say last week about him? This is a guy, a very kind gentleman, that you'll never hear a disparaging word about. At least I never have. So another great asset to our community is Ron Dugan. For, you know, everybody associates him with Captain Ron's and the shootout, but here's another example of his generosity. He gave you guys that back office over there at Stonecastle Center on the second floor.
Yes, it's a great office.
Yeah, it's a neat building, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you are not the director. You are a board member?
Yes. Kathy Wiesen is our area representative, and... So she is the one that goes to the schools and does all the contact. And then we have a leadership board, consists of 13 people right now. And we help Kathy as far as, you know, helping her do her job. We work together for building it.
Okay. I just would like for you to give me the answer whenever you find it. Did it start in Norman, Oklahoma? Is that was that their second office?
Me or Alicia?
She doesn't know. She's already told us she doesn't know.
Why should I know?
Well, because you found the big web page on
it.
Okay. I don't have time to read the website.
He's killing us here.
I don't have time to read it.
Let's ask Kim some questions.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who's Kim?
Gosh.
Okay. So are you a runner? How did you get charged with organizing the half marathon?
I am a runner. I ran my first half marathon in October of 2011. I've run 10 since then. And the reason this race came about is because FCA is completely faith-based. We raise our own funds. I mean, we've got headquarters, but we raise our own money for our area. And we have an amazing community, but we also have a lot of organizations that require donations. And so... my thought was, we need to reach outside of the community. You know, we need to be able to access funds from outside of the community. And, you know, this is just being straight up honest. It was presented as a fundraiser for FCA. And, you know, the half marathon distance is the shortest distance that people will really travel for.
Okay.
And being a vacation destination, I mean, we've got so many second homeowners that, you know, we should probably be able to draw some people from outside the area and have a fun event and... you know, call it a day and raise some money. It really evolved into a lot, I mean, more impactful than what it started out to be as, you know, just a fun, I mean, I say just a fundraiser, but, I mean, it just grew, and not necessarily in numbers, but in the impact, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
So to raise money, you're looking at having more revenue than costs and expenses,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm guessing that the revenues are from entry fees and sponsorships. Any other revenue sources?
Not this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we grow, we'll be able to add some more revenue streams. But this year, we really just wanted to be able to execute a race make sure nobody got hit by a car, you know, and everybody have a good time. And, I mean, there's lots of different revenue streams as an for an event like this. And I think we might eventually grow into it, but we're going to take it step by step.
And you did do well this year. You, without getting in the numbers, you finished in the black.
Yes, we did.
So congratulations just on that alone. Not only did you organize it, but you made money.
Right.
So that's impressive.
Thank you very much. It was
well done.
Good. Thank
I mean,
you.
First year event, she did well.
Yes, she did.
She did well. So let's talk about some of the, I guess, expenses, if you will, the costs. I'm guessing that the porta potties were not donated.
No, I tried to get those.
Well, see, and that's the thing is those guys. It's like a radio station. People think, oh, it's for a charitable event. Can you donate it? Well,
right.
You talk to anybody who has something like a porta potty company or a radio station. I mean, there are real costs mm-hmm. involved here, and if we gave it away all the time, I mean, we're welcome. Or we're, you know, speaking on behalf of, as an example, the porta potty company. We're charitable as anybody else, but everybody thinks that we should donate these porta potties, and we just can't. And I think
right.
we all understand that. But
yes.
I don't blame you for asking.
Well, if you don't ask, you don't receive.
That's right.
But,
that's
you
right.
You know, and really and truly, at first I thought, well, it's a nonprofit. You should.
Right.
And then I thought about, well, they're a company, and how many nonprofits contact them? Of
Absolutely.
Course, you're not going to be able to do that. So
absolutely,
you know, it just took me a second to
sure.
to think it through.
Right.
On.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, it literally does cost them money.
Right.
To do that. And they're if they give it all away, then there may not be any porta potties for you next year.
And that would be early.
Well, you guys used them, huh? Right on. What other costs?
We got the course certified.
What's that mean?
A USTAF representative comes out and they ride their bike.
USTAF?
Or UST Track and Field. TF.
USTF?
US Track and Field Certifier, I guess is the term. They come out and they ride the course on their bike and they ride it the absolute shortest distance possible to ensure that it is, in fact, 13.1 miles. Or, you know, at the minimum, because it has to be within that 13.1 mileage.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and continue with that topic because I have some follow-up questions. But first, we need to take our first break of the hour.
Okay.
You're listening to Ask the Construction Expert on News Talk 1150, 97.5, and 104.9 KRMS. Back to the show. Going to open up our mics right now. We'll jump right into that.
Goodness.
You feel kind of guilty about me giving you all the credit for being the organizer. You were not the only person organizing it. There was a committee of organizers, evidently. And
oh, yes.
See how nice she is, Darius? She's like, I don't, you know, want to cause any trouble, but can you stop calling me the organizer? Well, I don't know. Nobody else has called me the last 2 months.
Well, that's true. Good point, but that's all right.
And it's interesting how our paths crossed because, number one, she had to get a hold of me to ask if she could use the parking lot down across from Beavers by the dam, which I have listed.
Yes.
And number two, she had to call me to use the Village Market parking lot for the turnaround because that is a holding of the Villages at Shawnee Bend. So,
right,
our paths were destined to cross eventually.
Exactly,
evidently,
evidently, porta potties and all.
So, did you want to name some names? These other players here?
Oh my
gosh! Just wanted to make sure that you're not the only one taking all the credit.
I don't think I could name them all because mm-hmm. I mean, of course, our whole board of FCA, but then there's people outside the community and. I got to give big kudos to Police Chief Launderville from Lake Ozark because he really helped us a lot. He has a lot of experience up in Iowa because he did, from the police side, several marathons up there. So he helped us a lot as far as that side because, of course, we didn't know anything about the police side. And he was a real assistance there. But I mean, the police chiefs, the sheriff's department, and, of course, all the people on the board. And then there's community people that stepped up and helped, too. There was a lot of people.
So nobody at the FCA here in Camdenton had ever organized a marathon or a half marathon?
No.
Nobody had?
No. I laughed because poor Nancy, I put her in charge of aid stations. She'd never seen an aid station. So, I mean, she executed perfectly. But, yeah, I mean, we had a whole group of people that had never even been to a race, had never seen it, and we just got it done somehow.
What kind of feedback did you get from the participants as far as your performance?
Oh, my gosh. It was overwhelming. It was amazing. Just it flooded in over Facebook about how well organized it was, which is phenomenal, you know, for a first event. And just they liked the course, even got, you know, kudos on the snow because, you know, we had a lot to do with that. But, yeah, I mean, it was just overwhelming of how people enjoyed the race and enjoyed how well the volunteers were, which is huge. I mean, all our volunteers did a great job, and that means so much. And the law enforcement got hand slaps, and it was overwhelming. Of course, we got some feedback on things to improve on, but it was minuscule compared to the feedback we received on how well it went, which was very satisfying.
Did you guys have a post-event meeting to talk about what worked and what didn't work?
Not yet. We actually have been doing that via email. The FCA board had a very busy March. We always have our annual banquet, and it was on March 9th, and then we followed up with this event. So we took our next meeting off.
Okay. So, you know, as soon as the event's over, when everything's still fresh in your mind, is the best time to take the notes that say, next year,
oh yeah,
we're going to want to do this, and we're not going to bother with this, that sort of thing. We'll do this. But let's get back to what you were talking about having the course certified. Now, you told me that a half marathon is 13.1 miles. Does that mean a full marathon is 26.2 miles?
Yes.
And where does that come from? 26.2, was that an arbitrary number? Is that a certain number of kilometers? Or what is that number?
I'm going to get the place wrong, but I believe it was in Greece. There was a...
Darius knows.
I know a little bit about what she's going to say. Not enough to be smart.
Okay.
There was a guy.
Can we Google that? Why do they call it a marathon? Why is a marathon?
Yeah.
Google that for us. Would you? Why is a marathon?
Why is it 26.2
miles?
It does have to do with a running distance from town to town, and then they made it an event, and then they had to move the start line, the finish line, so it would finish in front of the king and queen's box. So that's where the .2 came from, or something like that.
I see.
So it's interesting. Let's have
if you know it, if you're listening and you know it offhand, 26.2 miles. Why? 3027000. Darius, don't turn the monitor toward me. I don't have time to Google stuff. I don't have time to read a website. I'm doing an interview over here. Did you not notice this?
Would you like me to read it to you?
We would love for you to. Inquiring minds are just dying tonight.
The marathon may have ancient roots, but the foot race's official length of 26.2 miles wasn't established until the 20th century. The first organized marathon was held in Athens at the 1896 Olympics and the start of the game's modern era. The ancient games, which took place in Greece from around 776 BC to AD 393 when JR was just a young man, never included such long-distance races. The idea for the modern marathon was inspired by the legend of an ancient Greek messenger who raced from the site of Marathon to Athens a distance of 40 kilometers, or nearly 25 miles, with the news of an important Greek victory over an invading army of the Persians in 490 BC. After making his announcement, the exhausted messenger collapsed and died. To commemorate his dramatic run, the distance of the 1896 Olympic marathon was set at 40 kilometers.
40 kilometers is almost 25 miles, right?
Correct.
Isn't that what you just read?
Correct.
So where's the extra almost mile and a quarter? Where'd that come from then? So why is a marathon not almost 25 miles?
Would you like to know?
Yes.
That for the next few Olympics... The length of the marathon remained close to 25 miles. But at the 1908 Games in London, the course was extended, allegedly to accommodate the British royal family. As the story goes, Queen Alexandra requested that the race start on the lawn of Windsor Castle so the littlest royals could watch from the window of their nursery, according to some accounts, and finish in front of the royal box at the Olympic Stadium. A distance that happened to be 26.2 miles.
And there we have our answer.
There we go.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Get the bill in the mail.
See, now, no, because I think this hour goes on your paycheck from what I understand. So now we know. Now you know.
No.
Aren't you glad that we asked?
Yes.
26.2. So you did a half. You're telling me that people will travel, if you do a quarter or a 10K or something like that, they're not, I guess a quarter and a 10K are the same thing, right?
They're close.
Yeah.
6.2 miles is a...
They're not going to drive an entire state away. They're not going to travel for 5 hours. You told me that, I think you told me this yesterday, that you had people from a lot of outlying states. You did...
We had 11 states.
Uh-huh. Really?
All of our surrounding states, and then we had New Jersey, North Carolina, and Florida, and Arizona, in addition to our surrounding states.
Why would people drive that far just to run? What is in it for them? I mean, is it for practice? Is it bragging rights? Do you guys give away money, trophies, medals? What? Tell me. Is it because they're FCA members?
We did have some people because it was FCA, but I figured you would ask me this question, and I don't know. But at the end of the month, I'm traveling 7 hours to run in Kentucky. It's just, I mean, they put on fun events. You get a cool medal. And I don't know, there's something about
running.
There is. There's just something about running. And then completing a distance. The half marathon is a challenge. You have to train for it. But it doesn't consume your life. But it does take planning. It takes discipline. And I think once somebody crosses the finish line of a half marathon, knowing what they had to do to get it done, it's very, very satisfying. And then, of course, you want to improve and stuff because you can see the improvements. And, I mean, it does something to you mentally. It obviously does something to you physically. And it's tough to explain. I have not done a full marathon, but let's just double that.
How many marathons have you done?
I've signed up for my very first full marathon. That's going to take place in the fall, and I've done 10 half marathons.
She did 10 half marathons, so she's, in essence, done five.
Five.
How many have we done?
Zero.
Together?
Zero.
0.1.
You know why I'm not? Because it occurs to me that if I start running, it releases endorphins. And evidently these endorphins get you to jump in your car and drive two states away and run some more.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
Fair enough. I mean, there's a whole other topic there.
Yeah.
If you can Google that for us, guys, that would be great. Why do people travel to run in marathons and half marathons? You're saying they will not travel very far to do a 10K.
No, I mean, statistically, they won't. However, a lot of people will tag along with a half marathoner and do a 10K. So that's kind of interesting, but they don't travel to run 6.2.
Yeah, and I'm going through the numbers in my head. We know why it's 26.2, because that's a full marathon. We know why you're 13.1, because originally the 26.2, quote-unquote, marathon was based on 40 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it's not. It's more than 40. The half-K is more than 20. But the 10K is exactly 10K. That's why it's less than half of the 13.1.
Right.
And numbers work really good on radio. I know. People followed that completely. But I have been able to connect some synopses this morning, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Have you thought about, it occurs to me again, that if I'm running 13 miles from the dam, up the strip, down 242, up MM, across the bridge, past through Port of Chima, and past the villages to the village market to turn around, and then come back, that on my way home, back to the dam, guess what? I'm running up the bridge. That's a up. What if you turned it around and had to start and stop at the village market and turned around at the dam? Then what?
Well, then you wouldn't have the downhill finish at the strip.
I see, and that's the thing. That's what you want is the downhill?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That makes a lot of the uphill that you just did go away.
Uh-huh.
They like the downhill finish.
I get it. That makes sense. You don't want to be crossing the line running up a hill.
No.
I see. Well, see, I'm glad I'm really glad I asked. Plus, nobody had to pay the bridge toll. They ran across
that's
the
bridge. Right.
If we started and stopped over at the village market, they got to all pay the bridge toll.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. They didn't charge it, so that's good.
No, they won't. They won't. You can even ride your bicycle across it.
That's right.
And you know this, Darius, on Friday and Sunday nights when the divorced parents are swapping the child, they don't charge those. Even though they drive across the bridge and park at the bridge office, the toll bridge office, they just walk their child past the toll booth, and then the parent takes off. And then they use the bridge again. But they don't have to pay the toll because they don't go through the toll booth. Did you? I said, you probably didn't know that.
I did not know that,
mm-hmm. but I can see that.
But it's pretty busy on Friday and Sunday
nights.
I bet it is. Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
Darius. I did not find the answer to your question, but I found 13.1 reasons to run a half marathon.
What's the point one? That's what we all want to know.
What's the
tenth of a reason?
You want them?
When we come back from break.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's tease that. 3027000. When we return, this is Ask the Expert, sponsored by Global Development and Construction. Check them out on their website, gdcpro.com. We're back after this on KRMS. It's Ask the Construction Expert on KRMS.
I'm going to guess February would be good revenue because a lot of the bars and restaurants reopen in March to get ready for St. Pat's, so they're going to want to advertise. We're back, and your phone calls are welcome, 3027000, and Alicia Machino is here with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we talked in the end of the first segment, about getting the course certified by somebody, United States Track and Field or something like that, evidently.
Yes.
And I wasn't paying no attention to your answer. But does that mean that this is a sanctioned race? Race?
What that means is people can use that in records. And so we had some people that were coming to qualify for Olympic trials and whatnot, so they can use this race as that. And if there is races out there that they want to qualify for example, the New York Marathon, you can get a guaranteed entrance by qualifying. It's an official. The distance has been determined that it is 13.1 miles, so your time will count.
And they have little meters on their bicycles that they rode that tell them it's exact.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me, by definition, that it is a sanctioned race.
Mm-hmm.
This was the sanctioning body, and you had to pay them for their time and travel and a fee to join to become on the list of sanctioned races for people that were looking for a race to qualify for the later events. So that's some of the money that you spent,
mm-hmm.
is to get those people here. And I'm sure that they're here during the race keeping an eye on the whole thing too, right?
They were the timing company as, mm-hmm. well, so they did have representatives there from their company.
So what do people win? First place, do you get just a medal or what?
First place overall got, a special little trophy,
mm-hmm.
Both men and women in both races. But then we gave out the top three places in each age group. And since it was the first year, we did 10-year age groups. And most races will have 5-year age groups. But since it was the first year, we did not expect to have huge numbers. And so that would be kind of difficult. And as we grow, we're going to break it down into 5-year age groups.
So this year it was like 0 to 9 and then 10 to 19, or how'd that...
Well, we did 0 to 19 and then 20 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, and then we did 50 plus. We should have done 50 to 59 and 60 to 69 and 70 plus, but we didn't.
Wait,
until next year.
Well, because you're telling me that there were a lot of people running that were in their 60s and 70s?
There was enough.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
but they were competing against the 50-year-olds.
Yes.
So this is one of the lessons.
Yes.
Cool.
Lesson learned.
Yeah.
And it's in the notebook for next year.
And you think you're going to have a lot more people running it next year, don't you?
I would think so. I mean, the feedback was great. I think there's a portion of people that like to attend first-year events. But I think there's probably a majority of the people that avoid first-year events because there's hiccups and there's things that go wrong in first-year events generally. And, do you want to come from Arizona to have craziness happen? Fortunately, we had very few things that went wrong. And based on the feedback, it didn't affect any of the runners. So I do expect, based on that feedback, that we should have a good turnout yet next year. In fact, I think I'm going to plan for doubling the number.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
Right on. Now, How many FCA chapters are there? Or is it called a chapter?
Yeah.
How many are there around the... Is it around the United States only?
No, it's around the world.
Okay, how many chapters?
I have no idea.
Okay,
there's
but
a lot.
Is it like hundreds or thousands?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
Thousands, yeah.
And how do a lot of those other chapters go ahead and put on a half marathon? Is that something that other chapters are doing?
No.
It's not, I don't know. You're telling me no.
No.
Really?
No, most of them don't. In fact, it's a pretty big undertaking. I think that there are some events that FCA is a beneficiary of, but I don't know of many chapters that head up the race.
Okay, we're going to go to break now.
No, I'm just kidding.
He's trying to sneak out of here. Evidently, he has to go down the hall. I'm sorry. So these people that were coming here learned about it through the U.S. FT.
TF.
The
no.
U.S.
Well, we had lots of... There's lots of websites. Well, not lots. There's probably 10 websites out there that are specifically races around the country. And you can just go to one of those websites and look for the state or the time of year or whatnot and find races. That was and our Facebook page was the primary marketing this year.
I mean, you got a lot of people. 300 people signed up. Correct me if I'm wrong. And how much was it to enter?
Before December 31st, it was 65 for the half marathon and 55 for the 10K. And then once January 1st went around, it was 75 for the half and 65 for the 10K.
Wait a minute. What's this about a 10K? Did you tell me there was a 10K?
Yes.
When? Just now? Where was the 10K? What was that?
It just turned around at the 3.1 mile mark, which was right past the Portachima Golf Bridge.
Okay.
The same route. Just
right.
Turned around sooner.
I see.
About halfway.
Okay. Okay, I didn't realize both. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
And you've probably told me twice, but
sorry.
I have ADD real bad. don't I, Darius? He knows. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you can say a lot, and I won't catch it because I'm so fixated on what you said just before that.
Right. Okay.
Well, it's funny, but it's true.
Okay.
I used to miss a lot when I was sitting in Darius's chair. I would get home and Vicky would be like, "So what about that?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, I don't know.
She'd be like, "Well, they said it on your show. I mean, you ran the story 10 times during the news." And I'm like, I was producing the show too, you know.
Right. I wasn't just listening.
Okay. So that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
You made money.
Yep.
And then we've really only talked about the money that it costs to get the track certified, mm-hmm. and the porta potties, and obviously you had to buy medals.
Yes, and shirts and
what shirts for the people manning the booths or the runners?
Yes,
and yes, I did say booths.
we bought volunteer shirts and shirts for the runners who registered.
So what else did they get? They put the $65 out, let's say, before December 1 for the half marathon. What else? They're going to get a shirt. They get a chance at getting a medal.
Well, all finishers get a medal.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, you cross the finish line, you get a medal.
It's like the YMCA, isn't it?
Everybody wins.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you should, I guess. It makes sense. I mean, you did run 26 freaking miles after all. You should get a medal. To
13.
Finish. You don't finish, you don't get the medal.
Right.
Right, sorry, yeah, 13.
Yeah. Right. If you don't finish, you don't get a medal.
Sure.
Unless you cry really hard and be like, okay.
Anything else? They're going to get a medal. They're going to get a shirt. They're going to get free bridge toll.
That's right. You get to go across the bridge twice,
uh-huh.
for nothing.
Right. It's a beautiful view from the bridge.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't think about people that might be scared of heights having trouble with that.
Really?
Yeah. A friend of mine told me, she was, I am terrified
so
of heights.
So she couldn't run down the center. She had to run on the shoulder.
She ran on the shoulder, and she said she ran as far away from the shoulder as she could.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a trip.
I know.
Really?
Yeah. But she made it. So that was good. So maybe we cured her phobia.
This reminds me of one of those things where they say that, you know, you have guardrails in your life, but you don't really ever use them. They're just there. And this would be a perfect illustration of that. Can you imagine her trying to run across that bridge if there was no concrete median, if there was no concrete barrier on
the
sides?
Goodness. No, she couldn't have made it.
Could you imagine driving across the toll bridge if those concrete barriers weren't on the sides?
I'd do it.
It
would be scary, yeah. It really would.
But I wouldn't run across it.
Even though you drive across it, all the time, and you never hit the damn things.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right, I haven't.
But if they weren't there, you'd be like freaking out driving across the bridge. Isn't that weird how people's minds work?
Well, if you think about it, the only thing that keeps, you know, chaos from erupting is lines on the road. And so, no. As a runner, I think about that. Like, the only thing separating me from this car coming to me is that he stays on his side of the white line, and I stay on my side of the white line.
A little paint.
Yeah, a little paint.
That's it.
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good point.
We are a very trainable species.
So, anyway, let's get back to the costs. If you have any other costs, I would like to learn about those.
The timing company, and then, so they're the people that you put the little chip on your shoe, and they keep digital time.
Everybody had a chip on their shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
And so you'll see the mat.
Learning a lot here.
You'll see the mat at the start finish, and once they run over it, that activates the chip, and then when they run across it, then it clocks their time, and they have official time.
It's nothing more than a timer, right? It's
right.
Not a pedometer or anything like that. It's just a timer.
Just a timer.
Interesting.
Yes. And then we had some miscellaneous costs that came up
sure.
at the end. But
signage.
Yes, signage, which...
Poster board, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had our banner made, and yeah, just little miscellaneous things. But those were the big ones. The shirts and the medals were the biggest expense.
Shirts and medals.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a big deal.
And you're not giving away any prize money.
No. It's a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them don't. There are some races around that do. And they're pretty much, they're larger ones. I mean, I'm sure they didn't start off doing that. I'd have to look into it. But.
So you can run and win money.
You can.
Uh-huh. Like big money?
The most I've seen is probably $2,000 mm-hmm. for the first place, which, I mean, I don't know.
Two grand, Darius.
You'd have to run a race every week.
I know. It's like,
you imagine running 26 miles two or three times a week? Wow.
$2,000 a week, $100K a year. Yeah, I'll run 26 miles a weekend for $100,000 a year. Let's go ahead and take our final break. We're going to go ahead and jump out and come back and put the finishing touches on this big shoe. We're back after this on KRMS.
A ring on your finger is a good thing. A ring around the collar, not so good. A ring around the moon is good. But a ring around your boat, hey, that's really bad. Don't scrub it, prevent it with an Econolift boat lift. From PWCs to cruisers, Econolift can build the lift you need so you can stop scrubbing your bottom and keep your boat high and dry. Econolift on Old Route 5, 3.5 miles north of the square in Kempton. Call 346-7161.
If you boat a lift with Econolift, stop scrubbing your bottom. Stop it.
What?
Let's go.
Huh?
Aren't you going to get out of the car?
No, I'm listening to the game on the radio.
Our reservation's for 7. We're already 5 minutes late.
The fourth quarter just started. I'm not moving till it's over.
But I'm starved. There has to be a better way.
Now there is a better way. Listen to your local radio broadcast anywhere and everywhere for free with Next Radio, an incredible new smartphone app. It doesn't eat up your data plan or drain your battery. Find out what the next generation of radio sounds and looks like at nextradioapp.com.
You'll want to be sure and tune into KRMS this Saturday at noon for Ask the Construction Expert as we chat with the folks from Global Development and Construction. We'll discuss their world-class design-build construction process, be it high-profile commercial projects, custom luxury lake homes, bringing your home into the 21st century, or even building your new man cave. Whatever we decide to discuss, we'll have fun. And your comments and questions are welcome, too. On Ask the Construction Expert this coming Saturday at noon right here on News Talk 1150, 97.5 and 104.9 KRMS.
Love food? Then you'll love Feast Magazine, a regional culinary monthly dedicated to exploring what makes living in Missouri so delicious. Stay on top of what's happening in food and drink by liking Feast Magazine on Facebook and following them on Twitter at Feast Mag for the absolute best in regional restaurants, bars, wineries, breweries, and more. Subscribe to Feast today by calling 314-475-1244 or visiting feastmagazine.com.
Controversial Keystone Pipeline Bill.
Charlie Hebdo, a satirical magazine, has been attacked.
News Talk 1150, KRM.
And now, back to Ask the Construction Expert on KRMS.
Yeah.
Whoops, we're back. Welcome back to Ask the Construction Expert. What does this have to do with construction?
I don't know.
Nothing. But Global Development is a developer and contractor. And you can go see some of their stuff they've done on GDCPro.com. But very very passionate about the growth of Lake of the Ozarks, which a lot of us are extremely optimistic at this point. And GDC is no different. You brought an event to the Lake of the Ozarks that brought people in from out of state who probably never been here,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
I think most of them hadn't.
Had never been here, and they
mm-hmm.
got a hotel room here.
Mm-hmm.
So you helped the economy.
Yes.
And so you have something in common with GDC is we want a robust economy here.
Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
Right. So, I mean, that's why you're here. That's why you're on the show. That's why the sponsor wanted you to be here is because you brought a successful event that'll be back next year. That's more people coming here, eating in our restaurants, sleeping in our beds, maybe renting our boats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe buying some fishing lures.
Right on.
Seriously.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. You have the data on who was here, where people were from. You told me 11 states plus Missouri.
Including Missouri.
Mm-hmm. What about locals? Did you have some locals run?
We did. About 30% of the runners were local.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So about 70% were outside of the lake area. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Of the people that enrolled or the people that actually participated?
That's pre-registration.
Pre-registration. So you had like under 100 people that were actually locals running in
mm-hmm.
it. Had they ever run a half marathon before?
Yeah, several. There's a running community here in... I don't know how many have done half marathons. A lot of them do 5Ks and 10Ks. But there was a group of people who had never run a half marathon and decided this was going to be their first marathon, or excuse me, half marathon. And a lady in the community set up a closed Facebook group called the Half Virgins for this race. And it was kind of a forum to where these people could step up and learn about running a half marathon. They had coaches, nutritionists, everybody on this page. And so they stepped up and did the half marathon. This was their first event. So we're hopefully expanding the running community as well.
Yep. And if you do double next year, which I predict you will,
mm-hmm.
Then you're talking about, you know, possibly 400 people running from out of the area. And if they bring their spouse
mm-hmm.
and child, then that's over 1,000 people eating in our restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
That's 400 room nights, if you will. Maybe, you know, 800, let's say average 600 room nights. This is a big deal.
It is. And I read an article last year. It's about a race in Kansas City that's much larger than this, but it opened my eyes to what could happen. This race has about 12,000 runners, and there was an article in the Kansas City Star about the economic impact that this particular race has, and it was about $8 million
mm-hmm.
impact just this race. And so okay, they had 12,000, we have, let's say we end up at 2,000, and that's almost $1 million economic impact at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, you know, it started off as a fundraiser
mm-hmm.
for FCA,
mm-hmm.
but my goodness, it really, really, I think the community will be impacted multiple times over than what we are.
There's no question.
Yeah.
If you had 200 people come in from out of town, let's say they all stayed one night,
mm-hmm.
and let's just say $100,
mm-hmm.
which might be high. What's the math right there? Just on that, just on the lodging alone.
And that's 20,000.
What is it, Darius? We're not
mathematicians.
20,000. See, that's before food.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna eat. They're gonna I don't know if you count gasoline, but certainly they're going to maybe go ride the go-karts.
Mm-hmm.
They might rent a boat, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and go out on the town for the day or go to the mall. Maybe they're running and their spouse is at the mall.
Or golf.
You're playing golf mm-hmm. or getting liquored up somewhere. I mean, it's really good for the community.
Right.
When people get liquored up.
As long as they don't drive.
So I think, thank you, as a citizen of the Lake of the Ozarks, thank you for that. I mean,
thank you.
We appreciate that, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
She did good. She did very good. She did good. Now, she's not seeing the 20 grand, but let's just say she's in the black, and that's the main thing.
Yes, and you know, we had positive feedback, so that's huge.
Yeah, you did. That's why I think you're going to double it again next year. And I'm impressed, number one, but I'm intrigued by the thought of running. I mean, how much can a person run? before their knees give out or something like that, or their hips give out. I mean, isn't there a finite...
About 50 feet for some of us.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm just saying that, you know, there is some impact there. I mean, there's wear and tear on your joints, right?
There is, but there's also strength built around your knees. Your muscles get built up around
extremely good cardio, which is good for your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
It's good to run.
Yes.
I'm not trying to say it's not.
It depends on who you talk to.
Really?
I would say overall it's good to run. I mean, it's the best cardio I've ever done. You know, some doctors will tell you it's horrible for your knees. Some will say keep running. It just depends on, and same with chiropractors. Some will be like, oh, you better quit. And some say, nope, keep running. So I think it depends on the individual. But for the most part, I think it's an excellent sport. And I'm kind of intrigued by running, too, because it's hard. People don't like to do it, but it's a love-hate thing. But it's the only activity, you know, hard activity that we were born with all the tools. You know, all these different workouts out there and all this different equipment you can have. But we were born with all we need to run. So you'd think that would be what we should do.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So.
Right. I guess you could eat some glucosamine and chondroitin to help with your joints, right?
Absolutely.
And the course is beautiful, too, because you're probably running just on MM alone, probably like, what, 3 miles just on MM?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's flat. Big, huge, wide shoulders. It is, well, you know, I'm driving a car. I guess you tell me if you're running, it's not flat.
It's not flat.
Where is there a hill on MM? I'm trying to think.
It's gradual hills on MM.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've run it.
See, I'm always running.
It's not flat.
I'm always running 80, 90, so I never really paying attention to going up or down. That's 40 seconds for us, right?
30.
30 seconds. Hey. Alicia, what's the website again?
MidmoFCA.com. Excuse me, .org.
MidmoFCA.org.
Yes.
And you've got events coming up. Is there a schedule there on what's going
on? Yes, that gives you all you need to know about us.
There
are events and everything.
We appreciate your time this morning, this afternoon, Alicia.
Thank you very much for having me. It was wonderful.
And thank you, Darius. And thanks to everybody who listened. We're back again next week on Ask the Construction Expert.